Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you this morning. We have a very special friend with us today, Mark Davidson. If you tuned in Wednesday, you heard a magnificent, magnificent interview with the author of the book, Revisiting Daniel. And if you're watching with us on YouTube today, you'll actually get to see this wonderful author, Mark Davidson, and I on YouTube. And I want to thank everybody at the start of this broadcast today for going to our YouTube channel, which is New Wine Ministry TV, and make sure you push the subscribe button and a little thumbs up and ring the bell. And then thank everybody for sowing into the ministry. God bless you. Morning to you, Brother Mark Davidson. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Good morning, Vincent.
Good morning. Hey, you know, it was such a tragedy on Wednesday after that interview that the guys over at the studio did not get to record it. And I had people immediately right afterwards saying, hey, I want to copy that. In fact, somebody wanted 20 CDs and we kind of missed out on it. So this will be recorded onto our blog talk and everything else. So I think by the grace of God, we're going to get back into what it is that you brought up. And again, just a minor testimony, and I'm going to just release this. Last week, I'd been telling all of our listeners on these broadcasts on Omega, Blog Talk, YouTube, that I need to contact Mark Davidson. He has written a book about this. He's been on the air with me before. And I just got super busy and you gave me a text out of nowhere. The conversation came. Here we are. So this is a divine design by the Holy Spirit. Mark Davidson, Iran is in the news. Let's just jump right into it. How would you like to proceed this morning?
Well, did we want to go over what we talked about last time?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the book is Daniel Revisited, and I cover everything in there about the four signposts and how the tribulation and the rapture are not next. What's next are four events to occur in the Middle East, which I call the four signposts. Daniel 7, the vision of the four beasts. Daniel 8, the ram and the goat. And Revelation 6, verses 1 through 8, talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These are the passages that generate this new interpretation. The interpretation we've had has been going on for 18 centuries, where the Antichrist is going to be Roman, and all these passages like Daniel 7, Daniel 8 were in the past, and who knew what the four horses of the apocalypse were. But as it turns out, they're all talking about the same four events. the four horsemen, each with the four, are paired off each with the four beasts, and then the ram and the goat of Daniel 8 fills in more detail. So the first signpost, if we go back to Daniel 7, the four beasts, we're looking at four beasts, four events, with seven heads, and the heads are political authorities and governments. And so we have four heads on the leopard, and then one head on the other, each on the other three beasts. So when I was looking into this, I realized that the beasts are all the end time versions of the kingdoms in the statue, in the image of Daniel 2. And of course, that was historical. That was ancient times. So the gold head was ancient Babylon, but the lion with wings is end time Babylon. That would be Iraq. And so that means if its mind was changed, that means its government was changed. And it looked like it was something like a lion, like something brutish, to something civilized, like a man. He was forced to stand, and a mind of a man was given it. And we're given, of course, Nebuchadnezzar's story in Daniel 4 as a foreshadow to give us a hint that this is indeed Babylon, but in time Babylon. So when I arrived at this conclusion that Iraq's government had to change, I didn't think anything of it. This was back in early 2003, 17 years ago. And then 2 weeks later, George W. Bush came on the TV and said that they're going to go into Iraq and they're going to remove Saddam Hussein and they're going to instill a democracy. And I thought that was shocking. It was like, I think I'm onto something. So then I researched it over the years, wrote Daniel Revisited. And the reason I wrote it was as a warning to the church. I didn't write it to be correct or start an argument. I just simply believed that this was true, this new interpretation, replacing 18 centuries of old traditional interpretation. And by the way, Daniel says in two places, in chapter 8 and 12, it's sealed till the end time. So if this is the end time and people were making guesses 18 centuries ago, why did the church give it so much weight? It's because that was the only interpretation there was. But as it turns out, we're seeing events unfold in the Middle East so that they are matching this interpretation. Now, the second event is why I wrote Daniel Revisited. The second event, the second signpost, is a ram, the ram running out in the three directions in Daniel 8, and the bear being told to go out and eat, to gorge on many nations, that this is going to be a terrible event. This is going to be the first event that's going to affect our lives and affect the whole planet, the economy of the whole planet, and that the second horseman was given the ability to allow men to slay one another in this quarter of the earth, it says in verse 8. And this quarter of the earth is the Islamic quarter. And the colors of the horses, white, red, black, green, they are the colors of Islam. The green one, the fourth one, is where the man to be Antichrist will emerge. And how appropriate, since green is Islam's favorite color. So we have four horsemen, four beasts, ram and goat. And so this is going to be a truly terrible event, lots of people being killed, and the oil price shooting up tremendously so because Iran would turn it off. The reason they're doing all this is because they want to cause chaos. They want to spread the revolution to all the other Muslim countries of the Middle East, and they want to cause chaos via war to allow their Mahdi, their savior, their Messiah to come. And that is the Christian's Antichrist. So there you have it.
All right. So let's continue to put this together. Number one thought that comes to my mind, obviously, after 2,000 years of people reading the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, interpretations arise. And to speak anything controversial to the established, accepted dialogue, you know, put you in a controversial position yourself, but you've stepped
sure.
out. God has revealed something to you. We're dealing with Daniel chapter 8 specifically. And you, years ago, wrote this book and you were waiting. You've been waiting for to see the revelation that God gave you if Iran would make a move. So, according to the prophecy, again, the signpost that we should be looking for, Iran at some point is going to make a move in the Middle East, and it's going to become a very powerful leader in the Middle East. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've already seen some previews of it in the recent events, the last few months.
And that's actually written in the book of Daniel, chapter 8. I mean, that's what's written there, that this ram would go out northward, westward, southward, and it would become very great, and nobody would stand against it. And so this is really the theme of an end-time caliphate forming with a khalifa at the head of it, that somewhere down the road it will actually be broken. And you sense that we're looking at that formation happening in the Middle East right now to some degree.
Yes.
All right, let's speak into that.
All right. Well, over the years, since 2003, we've seen Iran's power building. We've seen them attempt to build nuclear weapons, better ballistic missile technology, and they've built thousands of these. And the IRGC has grown in power from 1979. The second horn of the ram has grown longer and is now later the supreme leader was the first horn, which was established back in 1979, and Daniel says the horns were long, so they had absolute power, and the supreme leader speaks for God, supposedly, according to the IRGC and according to the constitution there of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And so more recently now, they've taken over the military, the economy, the politics. They got Ahmadinejad in as president, who was one of them. And so now most recently, in September 14th, we had a little example of their capability. Now, how could the ram run out across the Middle East with the United States present? That's a big question on everybody's minds. Well, they went ahead and they destroyed half of the Saudi oil infrastructure. They went in and took out an oil facility, taking out half of Saudi Arabia's oil production, and they did it with drones, about 17 drones, pinpoint accuracy, and there's really no defense unless you have a radar pointed in the right direction and you have guys with ground-to-air missiles right there. There's really no way to defend against it, and they attacked at night. And so we have just seen that Iran, yes, can attack all the oil facilities in the Middle East. They could hit northern Iraq, southern Iraq, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, the rest of eastern Saudi Arabia, take out all the oil. So we don't have to worry about the Strait of Hormuz. They're going to take it out at the source ahead of that. And once they do that, you'll see a quarter of the world's oil supply being cut off, and the price of oil will skyrocket tremendously. And people will have a hard time, getting to work, gasoline being $20 a gallon. That'll be a problem. Everything, tires, roof tiles, everything made with oil will also go up in price or be hardly available. And so again, we've seen the drones, and this most recent event with the missile strike in the two bases in western and northern Iraq is very strange the way it happened. And I just posted about it on my website at foursignposts.com. That's one word. foursignposts, www.foursignposts.com. I keep up with events in the Middle East, and I show how they apply to the signposts to put perspective on everything. But what happened most recently here, and it's very strange, is first of all, we took out General Soleimani. He was assassinated. Okay. And of course, the IRGC and the Supreme Leader went nuts about this. There's lots of footage of them, with their funerals and their crying and so forth, their mourning. But the Supreme Leader has now said that this missile strike is not recompense for the general being taken out. This is just a slap in the face. And that recompense would be all U.S. military leaving the Middle East, period. And we got about 65,000 troops out there, ships and planes and so forth. But that's what the Supreme Leader declared. Recompense for the general being killed is all the U.S. military being taken out of the Middle East. So they struck with their missiles. And what was very odd about this missile strike is if you look at the overhead pictures, and I have one included in the post, These missile strikes, these missiles, where they hit precisely in the center of the building they were going after. There were no vacant lots or just sand where they landed. They were right in the middle of different buildings. And so that is a display showing their accuracy of these ballistic missiles. They can go hundreds of miles and land right on a single building. That's the kind of thing we were doing 20 years ago. Also, besides this missile attack, I lost the train of thought.
Okay, that's okay. That happens early in the morning. I know you're coming from the Rocky Mountain area. Hey, let me ask you a question. A couple of things come to mind. You know, you mentioned the IRGC. Oh, did you remember?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead. Good.
And this is kind of an important point, too. Okay. So I thank you for that. So what it is that by showing us how accurate the missiles are and using the excuse of Soleimani being assassinated to tell us to get out of Dodge, as it were, I think what's going on here is that strangely, Iran is giving us grace. They're saying, get out. Here's a strike. Here's our capabilities. We want you out of here. Of course, that would make it easier for them to run out across the Middle East. And so this grace, of course, only comes from God. And I believe God gave us some grace because of the way Trump is handling Israel. You know, the Bible says in many places, whoever blesses Israel, I will bless. And, Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's saying no more two-state solution. It's Israel's land, period. He's supporting Israel, expanding settlements into the West Bank. All these things. And so I believe that we have right now at this moment, I don't know how long it'll be, days, weeks, we have the chance to leave the Middle East completely and not suffer any casualties. There were no casualties in this missile strike because the IRGC told the Iraqi security forces that it was coming, who in turn told the U.S. military. So clearly Iran didn't want to escalate things right now. So now people might say, well, if we get out, then won't that accomplish the second signpost anyway? Well, if you do this or so forth.
Okay, it looks like we're getting a minor interference here, and I don't know. Mark, forgive me. I've lost contact with you as far as voice is concerned, and that's probably the reality out there. So let's wait for Mark to get back with us here. I'll take him off the air just for a second because we need to see him mobile again, and I could see that. One of the things, and unfortunately, we'll get Mark back to where he's talking about. What I want him to do is go to Daniel chapter 8. Are you there again, Mark?
Can you hear me?
Now I could hear you. Yeah, you went down for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead and can we do something just, and I know you're on track, but there are some people listening right now, I'm positive, that have never heard about Daniel chapter 8, how it relates to today, and I know you're talking about it, but I think they need to see it if that's okay with you. And they need to understand who the IRGC is because that's a very important component. And some people, like myself, until I talked with you, have never heard about it. And yet it's a very real demonstration today. And then some people maybe want to ask the question, and we want to give opportunity to anybody today that wants to ask a question. In fact, I've got people right now that want to talk with you, and I want to make sure that we give them that opportunity to ask questions. So let's get to Daniel chapter 8. Look at the two horns of the ram. Show how it applies today, not to the ancient times of and all of that. So can we do that? And maybe,
sure.
All right. Or should we take this first call real quick and see what the question is?
You're running the show, Vince.
All right.
So let's do what you wish.
All right. Let's do it. Let's take area code 574. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Mark Davidson?
I do. Good morning. God bless you. My name's Scott. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Welcome, Scott.
Well, I have a couple contentions with what your guest was talking about. I've been to Iraq. I've seen it, and I understand what it is. And what's interesting is the take on it from people that have never been there, right? That have a strong opinion about this or that or whatever, and they have never set foot out even outside of the country, more or less Iraq, right? It's a difficult place, and there's stuff that happens in that country in wartime that is not going to fit in the Bible, right? It's not going to fit in Daniel, whatever this guy's going to quote in about 2 minutes. You know, it's not going to fit in that, in that set of circumstances. And I'll tell you what, when you're somewhere and where bullets are flying at you and you have to fire bullets back and you do things that you would never imagine yourself doing in life, right? It's different. It doesn't fit in the Bible. So my point, my overall point, and I don't know what he's going to say, but and I've listened for about 1 minute here, so I may not have the right context. But my overall point is to, that guy has no idea what he's talking about. If he's talking about war, this.
All right, Scott, so let me. Yeah, let me just say this, and I appreciate your call. I really do. If you've been listening for 1 minute, there's a scripture that says that if we reject something before we've heard the whole case, we're not being wise. So let's be wise and give Mark Davidson an opportunity to speak his heart, and then we could maybe have some conversation about it. So, Mark, this is probably part of the contention you get all the time and the price that you've had to pay to bring forth this information. So here's somebody that hasn't heard what you have to say and is already ready to reject it because they've had some experience in the Middle East. So I think the wise thing to do, let's sit back for a minute. Let's listen to what Mark's going to share and take it from there.
All right.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Daniel 8.
All right. Daniel.
So Daniel 8 begins in verse 2, where Daniel's saying, I looked in this vision and it came about while I was looking that in Susa, right at the citadel of Susa, which today is in southwestern Iran, it's on a plain right next to southern Iraq, that in the province of Elam, he says that I looked in the vision, I was sitting beside this canal in Susa. And he says he lifted up his gaze and he saw a ram with two horns standing in front of this citadel, in front of this canal. Now the horns were long. And as I just said a little while ago, horns are symbolic of power in Bible prophecy, military power, political power. It could be either. And the horns were long, which means absolute power. And the supreme leader in the Constitution of the Islamic Republic back in April 79 was given the power, absolute power, speaking for God, speaking for Allah, their God of 12 or Shiaism. And one was longer than the other, and the longer one came up last. Well, at the time, back in 1979, the IRGC was just a bodyguard, like the Praetorian Guard for Julius Caesar in ancient times. And so it would have been a little stub, but it started growing because of Saddam Hussein's invasion and the 1980s Iran-Iraq war. And then after the war, their soldiers needed housing and needed jobs. So they started a housing company, a construction company. They built houses and towns and so forth for their soldiers. They took that money and bankrolled it, and it snowballed into other things. So they got into intelligence, banking, politics, telecommunications. They now, the IRGC now owns 40% to 50% of the entire Iranian economy. And in fact, all the sanctions with the oil companies and oil infrastructure actually helped them because there was no outside foreign competition. So they took over much of the oil production as well. So now moving on, verse four, and I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward. And Noah, let me stop there. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward. Okay, from Susa. And as it turns out, in today's modern geography, there is no other place to carry out a potential invasion of the Middle East except from the southwestern area of Iran, because there's this narrow pass over the Zagros Mountains, and you could only have military hardware, tanks, armored personnel carriers, and so forth, come out in single file pretty much. I've seen pictures of this pass. It's a V-shaped pass with one single railroad or road going through it. You would gather the forces down in the southwestern part of Iran, and they could run out from that point. So they go westward. And this word for westward is seaward. So the eastern shore of the Mediterranean is as far as they go. Now, they already have cells in southern Iraq and in western Syria. And they would go northward into northern Iraq, possibly eastern Turkey, and southward into the Arabian Peninsula. Now, it's Daniel 7 and it's Revelation 6 that give us more of a picture. And again, this is documented. The reason they do this is they want to spread their chaos. They want to spread their revolution to allow the Mahdi to come to power, to allow the Mahdi to arise, the 12th Imam of Shia Islam. And it says also in verse 4 that no beast could stand before him. In other words, countries, because beasts are all the different countries and kingdoms. No beast could stand before him, and nor was there anyone to rescue from his power. And this, of course, would be the role of the United States. But it says there won't be anyone to rescue. Now, whether the United States is vacates or whether they're defeated, we don't know. All we know is this is going to happen. And it says he did as he pleased. Now, if he wants to spread this revolution and cause chaos, that's exactly what he's going to be able to do. If this whole scenario is in time and applies at this point, and I'll show why it does. And it says he magnified himself, became great. In other words, he became feared. It's not that Iran itself would be a great nation like, you know, Russia, China, or the United States, but they would be feared. And they would be feared because they cut off the oil, and they would be doing to the Middle East what ISIS has done to the Middle East, killing people, slaying people, forcing them into another belief, etc. Now, I'm going to skip ahead, and in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 8, the angel is telling Daniel what this dream means. And he says, first, he says, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. There is no way it could pertain to ancient times. You know, when Cyrus the Great, the first Persian king, ran out to the west, he only ran out west from Susa. He didn't run out to the south or the north. He just went west. And it was only one king. He vanquished the Median kings. He was the only power, the only horn. So here we have a two-horned ram in modern times. And the supreme leader and the IRGC work together. That's a political power and a military power. The IRGC needs the supreme leader for legitimacy, because otherwise they'd just be a naked military dictatorship. They have this ideology and this faith, this belief about the supreme leader and his leadership in the Muslim community. And the supreme leader needs the IRGC to stay in power, because 80% of the Iranian people hate him. They want him removed.
Mark,
Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It is a special army set up by the Constitution to support the revolution, to spread the revolution. And that's who General Soleimani was. He was the head of the Quds Force, which is the international arm of the IRGC. So in verse 17, it says this vision pertains to the time of the end. And in verse 19, the angel says again, I'm going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the time of the end. And in verse 26, the very last verse, it says, I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. That's 27. 26. And the vision of the evenings and mornings, which is what this vision is, if you read the whole chapter, has been told as true. But keep the vision secret. Keep it sealed. For it pertains to many days in the future. Other translations say the end times again. So essentially, we have three places, confirmation three times, that tells us that this vision pertains to the end. And then, of course, Daniel 7 is in parallel. We have a bear higher on one side as opposed to a ram with a horn higher on one side. So moving on into verse 5, Daniel says, while I was watching, behold, a male goat was coming from the west. Now, this is sunset west, further west than the eastern Mediterranean. This would be western Turkey. Over the surface of the whole earth. And when it talks about the whole earth in context, it usually means the whole Middle East, from the area of Greece to the area of eastern Iran, the whole earth, without touching the ground. Now, theologians will tell you that Alexander the Great, coming from the west, coming from the area of Greece, that he conquered the whole Persian Empire in only 12 years, essentially fast for ancient times. But prophecy, Bible prophecy, is very literal. Now, if it's an allegory or a metaphor, that's clearly made. But if it's supposed to represent something, it's actually quite exact. Like in Psalm 22, Christ, the prophecy says his hands and feet were pierced. His bones were not broken. His clothing was gambled for. I mean, these are great details. And you see a lot of that in a lot of prophecy. So here we see that this goat with a single great horn, this first king, if you will, of Yavin. It's not Greece, it's Yavin. Yavin is one of the sons of Japheth, and his people, his descendants, spread around the eastern Mediterranean, that he comes over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. Now, that would be the equivalent today of an airlift. And Turkey today has the equivalent, or has the capability, to airlift thousands of troops at a time, over and over and over. Turkey's military, believe it or not, is the second largest in NATO. Only the United States is larger. Turkey's military is larger than France's, larger than Germany's. And so they quite have the capability to do this. There's also been past times where the IRGC talks about Syria and talks about Susa, the southwest province, talks about the road to the Zagros, and talks about Tehran. It's as if they're stuck in that mind frame. But Turkey, then, being the leopard surprise, you know, leopards hunt by surprise. And by the way, all the beasts in Daniel 7, those beasts are reflective of the way each country will attack, how each country will conduct war. And that surprise, they will airlift and go right into Iran directly and take out the regime. And it says that the ram shatters the two horns of the the goat shatters the two horns of the ram and stampedes all over him. And so that will be when the Iranian government is ended and the regime is ended, is that it will be this Turkish Sunni confederacy of four nations, leopard having four heads. Turkey, it'll be Turkey, Egypt, Syria, and Albania. All four of these nations are Sunni. All four of these nations are former provinces of the Ottoman Empire. I'm just wondering what else I might have forgotten.
Okay, well, while you're getting on track there, get your thoughts together. I was watching last night, and I had the strangest impression as I was watching the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, in Toledo, Ohio, at a rally. And then I noticed many commentators were – it seemed to me that they were overplaying their hand, because they kept saying over and over and over again, everything is okay, everything is well. It's a very powerful thing. So – Was this an overplaying of the hand? Is Iran, again, getting back to what you're sharing with us, is Iran, in your understanding, it's not all well, but they're wanting us to believe it's all well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. We're on the verge of the second signpost. After everything I've seen for 17 years, we're on the verge. And like I said, this is a very strange time of grace. Iran has the capability to take out the oil infrastructure without any way we could defend against it. That alone will throw the world's economy into chaos. You know, we lost 6% of our production back in 1973 with the OPEC oil embargo. And that caused prices to double, just 6% of doubling. Now we're talking 25%. What would that result in? 4 times, 8 times, 12 times? I don't know. Another thing Iran has going for it to move out is that the whole south half of Iraq is riddled with Shia militias that are backed by Iran. And they're also the IRGC and other militias are out in western Syria. They're in the places where the Shia populations are there. Part of the shock that's going to happen is when they go into the Sunni areas, like western Iraq, northern Iraq, eastern Syria, eastern Turkey, and most of the Arabian Peninsula. But we are on the verge, and I've been seeing the signs of this, and like I said, I've been following it on the blog, showing what's going on, and I believe here that when the Supreme Leader says they want the troops out, well, they do. It'd make it easier for them, but according to God's word, if this is correct, like I said, this is the end time. We're seeing two horns on the Persian ram, and in verse 20 it says it's the kings of Media and Persia, kings being the supreme leader and the commanders, of the IRGC. There aren't two kings. The two horns are power bases, political and military. There could be any number of kings, but it says the ram is the kings of the Medes and Persians. And of course, the Medes and Persians today are completely within Iran.
Okay, so Mark, maybe somebody's out there and they're thinking right now, okay, this is all about a Daniel chapter 8. The accepted interpretation was that it was Greece, you know, thousands of years ago. You're showing three times in the book of Daniel chapter 8 that this prophecy was for the latter days, for the end times. And there are connections right now that we could actually see being fulfilled. But maybe somebody listening to this broadcast is saying to themselves, well, if this is all about Iran and Turkey and the Middle East and a caliphate, what does it have to do with me here in America? We've got our own oil supply. We've got the best economy that we've ever had. And yet, isn't there some understanding that the great whore, that there are certain entities out there that hate the whore and will burn her with fire? And then you start thinking about Iran, the Middle East, the caliphate, North Korea, in the backdrop, Russia, China. So why should Americans mm-hmm. be even thinking about this particular prophecy?
Because the oil market is global. It's globally connected. And we are not producing all the oil that we need. We are exporting some oil, but we're also importing some. Do you know Canada? They export about half their oil they export most of their oil, but they import half of it back. As a for instance, the global market is very complicated. All the oil that Canada produces, for instance, is in the west part of the country, in Alberta, but it's the eastern half, Ontario and Quebec, that consumes most of it. They send it to us, we process it, and we send it on to them. So there's all this give and take and so forth. New Zealand, for instance, a number of years ago, they produce all the oil they need right there in their island country. However, they ship it all off because it's the wrong grade for their refineries, and they receive oil from other sources to match what their refineries can handle. So it's all interconnected. And so if the price of oil goes up 10 times, the price of oil will go up here too. Now, granted, we may have better access.
All right, Mark, I lost you again. Okay, we're going to hold tight right there. I've lost you.
To oil and gasoline, then say it to be high. Unless.
No, go ahead. I got you. You're back on.
You have me?
Yep, you're there.
Okay. Yeah.
So you said granted.
And so.
You said granted. And then I lost you. What happened after granted?
Okay. Granted, Americans have more access to oil than the Europeans would, because the Europeans don't produce any. They depend completely on the Islamic realm for their oil. However, the price is still going to be high. It's still going to be 8 times, 10 times, unless Congress or the U.S. government somehow says, okay, the oil for the United States, produced in the United States, stays in the United States, and become kind of like an island that we are cut off from the rest of the global market. But that hasn't happened.
And every island I've ever been to, the prices are jacked way high. And so if you have an American population that are dependent upon our own oil, somebody's going to want to raise the prices to make themselves rich, I would imagine.
There's always that. But sure. It's not as large as 8 times, 10 times from the fact that 1/4 of the world's oil supply is cut off. Now, because of this 1/4 being cut off, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, they get all their oil from the Middle East. The same oil that's going to be cut off. Japan's energy needs, 70% of their energy, electricity and cars, comes from petroleum from the Middle East. They're going to need another source. So they're going to go to Nigeria and Mexico and Canada, places where we get some of our oil from, and bid it up, jack up the price. That's how it's going to come up higher, 4 times, 8 times. Japan will be desperate. So will South Korea and Taiwan. So will Spain, France, Italy, Germany. They're all going to be desperate too, bidding up the price of oil.
Okay, so let's kind of bring this into perspective again. You talked about you're talking about four signposts we should all be watching. You say the first signpost has already occurred in Iraq. You're saying the second signpost is happening before our eyes right now, potentially. And then what is the third signpost after Iran makes its move? What happens in the third and fourth signpost?
Well, the third signpost is the goat, again, in Daniel chapter 8. It's verse 7. And
so when Turkey comes to power.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The goat was enraged at him, and he attacks the ram. He attacks the ram. And the thing is that word for enraged in Daniel 8, verse 7, is a personal embitterment. And Alexander the Great, again, did not have that. He just wanted to go conquer. He wanted national revenge from patriotism to take out Persia. But this is a personal embitterment, like Esau being the same word, Mara. Esau was personally embittered at Jacob for taking his birthright. And someone like Erdogan, for instance, who is the current leader of Turkey, and I do believe, and you know, we won't know it till we see it, but I do believe that major horn, the prominent horn of the goat, is to be Recep Erdogan, the current president of Turkey. He will be like Alexander the Great, very popular, very powerful, and he is popular in his country among half the people who are Islamists. And he's showing imperialistic tendencies. He wants to rebirth the Ottoman Empire. So he would be enraged. If you had a bunch of Shia army invade half of your Sunni country and you're an Islamist, a Sunni Islamist, yes, you would take that personally. That would be attack on your faith. So here again is a more exact fulfillment. So the leopard is the four-headed leopard in Daniel 7 is given the authority to rule. Now, countries don't magically get authority. Something has to happen to allow them to get authority to rule. And so it says that if the goat takes out the ram and takes over the entire Middle East, takes out Iran, takes out all of Iran's occupied lands, the Saudi Peninsula, etc., then the leopard definitely would be given authority to rule. This four-nation confederacy of the Sunni nations would then rule the entire Middle East except Israel.
And who are they? Who are the four heads?
Again, as I said earlier in this broadcast, Turkey, Egypt, Syria, and Albania, the four former provinces of the Ottoman Empire. They were also the four final kingdoms left over from Alexander back in the day. So we see history repeating itself. All the kingdoms of the image will be repeated in this end times. So then that's the third signpost, this giant nation ruling, becoming very great. I believe it'll be a G7 nation. It'll have the population, it'll get the oil flowing again. It'll become a great nation, not because it's feared, but because it is literally great. and then the boundary between the third signpost and the fourth signpost, we go back to Daniel chapter 8. It says here that the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Now again, Daniel is in Susa, and this cannot be an ancient fulfillment because when Alexander died, it got divided into exactly 25 pieces, not four. And it took many wars to whittle it down to four, and the four were mostly all to the west of Susa. They weren't in the four directions. But here in the end times, we're going to see four nations starting at Susa, a nation to the northeast, a new Iran, if you will, a nation to the south and southeast, a new Arabia, a nation to the west, the southwest, a new Egypt, and to the northwest, a new Turkey and Syria combined. And so that's the beginning of the fourth signpost. The fourth signpost is the one where the man who will be Antichrist will first appear. He will emerge. Now, Paul says that he will be revealed when he walks into the temple. That's true. He will be revealed as the Antichrist when he walks into the temple in the middle of the tribulation. But for now, the Bible is giving us a script. They're telling us, they're showing us. God's word is showing us. This is the career of the man who will be Antichrist. He is first going to take over the northwestern country. And in Daniel 8, it talks about this little horn growing out of one of the four horns. And how do we know it's to the northwest? Because his power grows to the south and grows to the east. That would be the southern country, Egypt, and the southeastern country, Arabia. And when he takes over those three, those are the three horns of the 10 on the fourth beast of in Daniel 7, that will be uprooted. He takes these over. And then in Ezekiel 38, and you know, all these passages have to all be connected by dots. They're all talking about the same things, is a list of the countries that are going to accompany Antichrist, Gog, if you will. And the first on the list is Persia. That would be this new Iranian country. And oddly, as crazy as the 12er Shia belief may sound, they would be doing this whole second signpost to begin chaos, to allow the Mahdi to arise. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. The Mahdi, the man who will be Antichrist, is arising. He recombines those three nations. So then Iran, Persia, would say, aha, there he is, let's ally with him. So it says all the peoples in Ezekiel 38 allied with you. And that's Persia, and that's Kush, that would be Sudan. And today Sudan is an Islamist nation. And Put, that's Libya and Algeria, also Islamist nations. And Togarmah, that's Central Asia. That would be the stands like Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan. So the 10 nations will be on the 10 horns on the fourth beast would be these four in the Middle East, plus some to the north, you know, down in Sudan and to northern Africa, like Libya and Algeria, and then into Central Asia. Those are your 10 nations. And when the man to be Antichrist has his 10 nations, he will be the Mahdi of Islam, the 12th Imam of Shia Islam. He will be the Caliph, founding the Caliphate again. But he hasn't become Antichrist yet. And he will do that when he walks into the temple. But the fourth signpost starts with the breaking up of the great Turkish nation, covering the Middle East into four pieces, and ends with Antichrist getting into the tribulation with his 10-nation empire.
Wow, absolutely phenomenal. That's absolutely amazing. And I could imagine a khalifa, an imam, a mahdi in the Middle East having so much power, political power, economic power, that would affect the entire world. And at the meantime, where is Russia? Where is China? Where is the United States in the mix of all this, Mark?
Well, I get into that in my latest book, Chronicles of the End Times. Daniel Revisited is only talking about the four signposts and only talking about the Middle East. It's a good place to start. In Chronicles of the End Time, it's an analysis of the form of Daniel and Revelation, the whole books, as well as half of Zechariah and several chapters from Matthew, showing how they all connect. And showing how each part of Daniel and Revelation has its part and matches to other parts of these books. And it's kind of hard to get into that in detail here. But what it shows is that it answers many questions, including what is Babylon the Great? And it shows that Babylon the Great is the opposite of the bride. It's not Rome. It's not Mecca. It's not Islam. It's not the Roman Catholic Church or New York City or America, is that Babylon the Great is all unbelievers, all those who will not serve Christ. The bride includes everyone who serves Christ. It doesn't exclude any of those people. Likewise, Babylon the Great is the opposite and does the same thing, except with unbelievers. And it also shows Babylon the Great, the spirit of Babylon the Great, is the opposite of Jesus Christ himself. There's some very compelling parallels here. So with that said, when we get into the seventh bowl and the seventh trumpet, Revelation says that the great city, who is Babylon the Great, is divided into three parts. Now, the verb for divided is the verb in Greek that's imperfect. It could mean any time. And I believe, again, this is connecting dots into history, that the separation of Babylon the Great into three parts began at Daniel's time. And the east part of the world is one of those parts. And that would be China, India, Southeast Asia, Japan, and will include during the end times, Russia and Australia. China will rule it. And each of these three parts of the earth reflect the three parts of the three soils in Matthew 13. And they reflect the three unclean spirits that come out of the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And I explain this completely in Chronicles of the End Times. So what's going to happen in the East is China will take over. Their Communist Party will become even more oppressive. You know, they have the social credit system. They're expanding into the South China Sea. They have projects and have countries throughout Southern Asia and even Eastern Africa that are indebted to them. And the Chinese collect debts differently than America does. And so they will... completely control that part of the world. And Russia will be the oil supplier for China. China will lose its supply from the Middle East because of all the things going on in the center part of the earth. And we also have in Revelation, in the sixth bowl and the sixth trumpet, that the kings of the east of their 200 million come marching into the Antichrist realm. So Russia, China, and the whole eastern part of Asia never became part of the Antichrist realm. There will be constant war against it, and today we're even seeing that. Pakistan versus India, that's part of the boundary right there. The western frontier of China, where they're re-educating the Uyghur Muslims, that's another frontier. That's a battle going on right now. China's fighting Islam there, and India's fighting Islam down against Pakistan. So that's what's going to be going on there. Now, in the center part of the earth, after Antichrist unites his 10 nations, it turns out that Europe and Africa will be completely conquered by the Antichrist. This is the part of the earth that fell away. Every nation in Europe and Africa and the Middle East and North Africa and Central Asia, every nation was at one time a Christian nation. The gospel was free to be spread in these nations. But one by one, they fell away over the centuries. The Europe due to the Enlightenment and Central Asia and the Middle East and North Africa due to Islam. But that whole region will completely fall away once Antichrist takes over. And then, of course, he walks into the temple. And that's when he deals with Israel. He deals with the world, what he can get before that point, but he deals with Israel after that point. And then, of course, then we have West Earth, the western part of the world. And I know this goes beyond your original question about East Earth, but as long as I'm talking about it, as well, get that taken care of too. Again, part of those soils from Matthew 13. This is the part of the world that deals with wealth. The whole western part of the world, the Americas, they know the name of Jesus Christ. They are all Christian nations, Catholic or Protestant or whatever, but they all choose to pursue wealth rather than pursuing the righteousness of Christ. The Americas were founded, or I'm sorry, were discovered by people seeking wealth. They were settled by and large by people seeking wealth. Today, the American dream is to get your own house with a white picket fence. And compared to the rest of the world, that's more wealth. It was even written into our Declaration of Independence for the United States that we are given by God the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that pursuit of happiness should be the pursuit of Christ, as it says in Matthew 6:33. If you pursue my righteousness and my kingdom, all these things, the food, the water, the clothing will be given to you as well. But instead, the Americas have chosen to pursue wealth.
Absolutely amazing. All right. So what we need to do, you know, and that's a lot of information. I could see where my heart needs to get cleaned up. When you talked about the way China collected debts, you know, I come from an Italian background. I was thinking about how they collected debts. But anyways, what I'd like to do is open the telephone lines right now. We have a number of people out there. Maybe there's some questions or comments. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, you could send us a little chat. If you have a question for Mark Davidson at this point, or if you are wanting to call into the broadcast, the number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. We'll bring you right in. And, Mark, we have a caller coming in right now from area code 858-864. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You have a question or comment for Mark Davidson?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. And I am praising God, Mark, that he chose you for a time such as this, for he has endowed you with the anointing to do so. I have a question, and I hope it could be answered. When do you assume that the seven trumpets will be blown and the Mahdi will be on the scene?
Well, the Mahdi will be on the scene as soon as Iran, the new Iran, like I was saying, toward somewhere in the fourth signpost, we'll see this man conquering these other kingdoms, these three horns that were going to be uprooted. And at that point, the Mahdi will be recognized. Now, the beginning of the 70th week in Daniel 9, it talks about a covenant will be strengthened, will be renewed with many. I do not believe Israel is the centerpiece of that covenant. I believe that at the beginning of the 70th week, and when it talks, when the Bible talks about tribulation and hard times, it's always 42 months, 3.5 years, 1260 days. It's always after the midpoint when the Antichrist goes into the temple and reveals himself as Antichrist. But when he starts when he renews, he will renew that covenant with many. It turns out that every major messenger, according to Islam, changes the religion, and that the people have a new covenant with this new messenger. The last one was Muhammad. The next one will be the Mahdi. The one before Muhammad was Jesus Christ. Before that, it was, you know, pick your prophet, Moses, Elijah, Abraham. So here again, we'll see this old covenant being renewed, being strengthened with many, which is one quarter of the earth, the whole Islamic realm. Now, you mentioned also the trumpets. The trumpets and the bowls will not occur until after the midpoint of the tribulation. The bowls in particular are the punishment to the Antichrist's realm for taking out the saints, for this relentless persecution and pursuit and execution of the saints by beheading. And that's also in the center earth. It won't affect East Earth. It won't affect West Earth. It's only in the center Earth, Africa, Europe, and the current Islamic realm. And that the bowls, if you read it specifically, and I show this in my book, Chronicles of the End Times, the bowls are God's specific punishment to a political system that spills the blood of the saints. That's why the bowls are bowls. They are mixing bowls. They're poured out. They're pouring out blood, as it were. And it comes from Jesus trampling out the blood in his vat of the wine that was harvested from the earth. And the trumpets, too, are global, but they're also in the second half of the tribulation. Also, there was, not pertinent to your question, sister, but there was also I heard mentioned about Babylon the Great and how she will be burned with fire. She will be hated. Well, it turns out she's going to be hated by the Antichrist and by those 10 kings of those 10 nations. And again, wonderfully, the form of Revelation gives us an answer as to how this is going to be accomplished. And it turns out that the system, Babylon the Great, that he hates is all the religions, all the pride, all the things, all the stuff of Revelation 18. And he is going to go against that with his own mark. The mark of the beast is not only to make sure everybody is worshiping him, but it's going to be setting up his own economy apart from the Babylon the Great. And that it says in Revelation, he will bring Babylon the Great to ruin, the great city to ruin. And in at least in the center earth, he will. If he makes everybody leave the Babylon the Great system and join his mark, then yes, the economy, the old economy of that part of the earth will be ruined.
Okay. Big question. Great answer. There's more to explore in this. It's hard to do in a few minutes. I've got time for one more call coming in right now from 479-238. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what he said about Turkey, wasn't that repeated also? I'm thinking his name was Walid Shabbat, the guy that used to be a terrorist. I was thinking he said the same thing about Turkey. Is that correct?
Not exactly. Walid Shabbat believed that Erdogan, President Erdogan, is the Antichrist. I don't believe that. I don't think he's been revealed yet. He won't be revealed until he emerges from one of the four pieces in the fourth signpost. But I do believe Erdogan is the main horn of the goat.
All right. Mark Davidson, the author of the book, Daniel Revisited. You've written so many books. There's some 600 pages, some 400 pages. There's volumes of information. You didn't even cover the presidents today that have been involved in these things. We've simply just run out of time, Mark, so we're going to have you back for sure. Now, I hope that the last hour that we've spent together has been an enlightenment to you, maybe provoked a lot of questions. Mark, how do people get a hold of you if they want to contact you or get some of the books you've written?
You just visit my website, foursignposts.com. It has my email address, my contact information, the books. You can click links to different online booksellers. That's foursignposts.com. All one word, plural.
All right, very good. Mark Davidson, thank you so much for joining me on the air today. We'll see you around real soon. Shalom. All right, very good, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. I want you to do something on YouTube while you're there. Would you please click the little bell and the subscribe button? And we want to thank everybody for supporting this radio ministry. God bless you. Shalom to all of our friends right now on Omega Radio. That's omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's our internet radio station. There's a roundtable discussion coming up right now with some brilliant minds talking about amazing things. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Shalom and God bless everybody. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. We'll see you next week. God bless.